Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism here on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies and I'm your host today. Thank you folks for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. From CEOs to small business owners to mentors, Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, idea, and inspiration. We are all about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. What is more precious than the valuable commodity of time? So pull up a stool, grab a cup of coffee, and check out what we've got on today's docket for you so you can learn how to balance your life a little bit better. We start off with Tom Peckskamp, singer-songwriter for the Moody River Band, talks about the rise of the coffee shops, the breweries, how they've given new life to the careers of independent musicians and emerging artists. And then we talk with Dan Hetherington with SEH. He gives us an overview of the Davis Refinery. The Davis Refinery out in western North Dakota is projected to ripple into about 2,400 jobs in western North Dakota and eastern Montana. Plus, Siri Nadu, senior equity analyst with Tocqueville Asset Management, discusses the economic impacts of the oil and gas industry and what it looks like from an investor's point of view. And Mark Eaton, former NBA All-Star with the Utah Jazz and current corporate motivational inspirational speaker, talks about the importance of longevity and leadership within core groups of businesses. He also pontificates whether UCLA coach John Wooden would have been fired in today's win-win environment long before he was able to develop his triangle strategy, which won a record number of NCAA championships. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. So once again, I invite you folks, pull up a stool, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and enjoy, because my name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
I saw a big fat hen out across the road, pecking gravel in the noonday sun, shaking her tail like the queen of the yard, not minding anyone. But the farmer's wife had set the pot to boil, and the dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Tom Peckskamp with the Moody River Band.
One of the things you mentioned about it's kind of the new coffee shop or it's new bar type of a thing, mm-hmm. where these breweries are. I've noticed that, too. These breweries have given a surge to the local music scene. You know, is it mostly just for maybe a one or a two-man set? It seems to me like they probably don't get enough of a crowd to get more of a band in there.
Some of them do larger events. You know, I've been playing at Junkyard quite a bit in the Fargo Brewing Company. You know, Director of Flatland in town, there's a couple more of them. But it's one two-man shows. Front Street Tap Room does music all the time, too. And, you know, two, three guys max probably. And then if they do big events, I think Drecker does like parking lot or their back alley concerts. And Fargo Brewing does some tent shows. I think Tuesday they have Shaky Graves coming. I'm going to go down and see that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, it's just been a great little opportunity, and then a great place to have a great beer. I'm a beer drinker, and so I enjoy going in and trying all the new things. And especially over at Junkyard, they have quite the selection and imagination there. It's always something fun over there.
How's the peanut butter beer?
Delicious.
Really? Yeah. I mean, does it taste like peanut butter?
I mean, it's a stout, but it has a peanut buttery flavor to it. Yeah, it's not overwhelming. So a lot of times when they say it's a, you know, it's lemon sour or something like that, you know, a lot of those flavors are in the back of the beer. You know, some get up there depending on who's brewing it, but the good ones, you know, you get a taste of it, but it's in the back.
So, like, what kind of crowds normally do you play in front of now? Because I remember, and Blind Joe, bringing up his name again, him and I used to joke at the old Nestor days where, literally three people would be in the crowd.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the artist. It just it took a little while to get the music scene back again in the area.
Yeah.
What are the crowds like now? I mean, I drive by Junkyard. Nice. They're packed.
Yeah. And that's a nice thing. I've really enjoyed getting out of the heavy bar scene. People taking shots, people getting rowdy, that sort of stuff.
Like the Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze.
Exactly. The chicken wire on the fence, you know. And again, with the Nestor there, you know, that was a lot of the crowd there. In the breweries these days are coming there for, they're coming for a specific product. They're coming for an experience, to try something new and to socialize. They're ready for music. Most of the places, when a customer comes, they know that they have live music. So it's not someone sets up in the middle of dinner time and, dang it, I took my wife out to a nice restaurant and I got to listen to this schmuck in the corner. You know, you get that a lot with some of the gigs I've played and things like that, where the restaurant or I really hate restaurants that try to become music venues. It's just, it doesn't work in my experience. And being there at 8 o'clock at a fancy, not necessarily fancy, but any sort of restaurant where people are trying to eat and you're trying to play music, and unless you're a piano player in the background, you know, playing soft jazz or, you know, old standards, it's just, there's no place for it, in my opinion. I think stick to the places that people expect it, and that's where I've kind of been directed towards, are the venues that I like to play, the ones where the crowd is into it.
To listen to the full-length interview with Tom Peckskamp with the Moody River Band, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, including live in-studio music from the Moody River Band, go to thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to you. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
So keep your head on a swivel, look both ways when you cross the street, cause this world is full of sharks and wolves, and all they ever do is eat. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Dan Hedrington from SEH.
Okay, well, thanks for having me. But, the public information meeting went great. It really did. So to give everybody kind of just a little bit of a quick background, when we submit for these permits, we actually submit the applications. We have to submit with them all of the design information, the design data for the project, and that's been going on for a very long time. I think since our first original submittal, it's been well over a year. We have been working with the department very closely, and they've been doing an outstanding job just reviewing the information and offering suggestions and thoughts and kind of going back and forth with that. So on December 8th of 2017. They were in a position where they were comfortable issuing or comfortable with a draft permit. They said, okay, so this is what the permit's going to look like based on what information we have and, what levels of emissions that you folks are at. So what they do then is they start a public public comment period. Typically that lasts 30 days. In this case, they extended it out to 45 days because it was over the holidays. They issued this on December 8th. That's when it started, and it actually ends on January 26th. That's been going very, very well. Part of that process is having a public information meeting and a public hearing, which was held on January 17th. That was held at Dickinson State. It was just an outstanding presentation by the Department of Health officials. They kind of get up and they talk about the process, their authority, what rules and controls they are guided by, and then they talk about the project itself. They said, okay, here's where the Meridian project is with its emissions. And then they also gave comparisons so people could put it in perspective. Those comparisons included, UND, and it included other refineries and other projects. So it was a real great presentation. Once that's done, they open it up a public hearing process where people can come up and officially, make statements that are recorded, and then if they are relevant to the air permitting process, then the department will act accordingly and respond as needed or respond if needed based on what those comments are. So that was on the 17th, like I said. I would say 230, 240 people-ish showed up. It was great. The vast majority were supporters of the project. When they opened up the hearing portion of it, only about, 42 people ended up speaking. The majority of the people that spoke had concerns about the project, and so it was a great opportunity for them to get up and actually kind of, voice their concerns and ask questions, some of which, the department's going to respond to, like I said, if it's appropriate. So we were thrilled with it. We really were, and we still are. Not only just the way that it was handled, the way that it was handled so professionally and so informative, but also because it gave people who sometimes feel that, maybe people aren't listening to them, now they know they're listening to them. They know the department was listening, and they know that other government officials were listening to them as well. So I know I kind of went on at length about it, but very, very pleased. We're very, very pleased with that.
I'm going to ask you a two-part question, and you can take whichever direction first you want. The first part, I need to set the table, the narrative a little bit here. These public meetings sometimes can be a little confusing for the public because they will bring up topics and issues that have nothing to do with the public meeting when they're focused on the bigger picture. And, that's happened quite a bit in North Dakota. And I'm used to it. I've been covering, government affairs for 25 years. So I'm very accustomed to it. And at the same time, I'm also very accustomed to the public. It's difficult for them to understand that. So with that being said, were there people that were voicing things that had anything or not to do with the air quality? Because my understanding was this was an air quality related meeting. And second part of that question is that if there was people who focused on the air quality part, you mentioned there were some concerns. What were the concerns?
So the two-part question is, you know, what were some of the other concerns, but what you know, were they actually addressing air quality concerns? Some of them did. To be honest with you, the vast majority, for what I would, you know, I sat and I took good notes through the entire process and listening to them. They weren't necessarily in regards to air permits, but I think, you know, that, you know, these you know, say 30 or so that were there speaking about that were, you know, just saying, you know, it's about location and trying to bring up, you know, that actually without, I don't want to get, you know, be derogatory in any way, but, you know, some were just criticizing the department and how they're handling it, or criticizing the way the government handles this kind of stuff. And in reality, you know, I felt that was unfortunate because, you know, this is the business that we're in. We understand the permitting process. These processes are pretty consistent throughout the entire country, and they're pretty thorough. And people, you know, that make general accusations like, well, nobody's looking at this from that perspective or that perspective, really isn't true. So that was some of the accusations that were made. And like I said, it's unfortunate because these projects are highly regulated. They're being reviewed by many agencies. I think we have over 30 permits that we have to secure for this project alone. And each of these little divisions and government entities are reviewing them thoroughly and making sure that they've scrutinized every little aspect of the project. But, you know, sometimes the public doesn't, you know, see that. So they'll say, okay, we saw this air thing because it was up front and, you know, very visible, but, you know, not realizing that the exact same thing happened for the water, but they just didn't see it or something, or the exact same thing is going on for you know, other permits, but they're not aware of those things. So there's a lot of attention that's given to the permit of these things. So to answer your question, you know, yeah, there were some criticisms being made, but in my opinion, they're unfounded, especially because this is such a highly regulated type of a project, and it's being reviewed thoroughly. And the state of North Dakota, is doing an absolute amazing job, you know, reviewing this project.
A couple of my flies on the wall during that meeting mentioned how a lot of the complaints were in quote unquote stereotypical fossil fuel complaints that had to do with, you know, dirtiness, et cetera. And I'll be honest, I was a little surprised. You know, I knew there would be some because, let's be honest, there's an actual profession of protesters. That's where, I mean, the actual full-time job. People get paid to go around the country and protest against fossil fuels. That's a actual reality. But what surprised me, I guess, is that you mentioned earlier that the health department did show some comparisons, because that was one of the things that through this process, I've done a little homework on this thing and talked to a number of different people, and you take almost any agriculture plant and what you guys are proposing and what is looked at being done, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are on par to be cleaner than a lot of those things. So you mentioned the health department did some of these comparisons. Did that have any impact on people when they showed some of the other plants in the state that were going to have a lower air emissions impact?
I think it did. It really did. Once the, you know, the hard information was actually up in front, it was actually displayed on a big overhead screen PowerPoint presentation, and they showed some of those comparisons. This is all available, by the way, at the Department of Health website, what those comparisons are. They did some to, like I said, other refineries, some to, you know, university, some to, you know, different projects, and even then, I believe that they did a lot more than even what they showed in the comparison. This was just a good group to show in the overhead, but we are very low, and we, you know, the project meets the synthetic minor source requirements. It falls well below those thresholds. So, you know, it's interesting. Like I said, I mean, the vast majority of the people there were supporters. In my opinion, I'd say that over 80% were supportive. And the reason we found that out was One time when one woman got up and made some comments in support of the project, the vast majority of the audience broke out in applause. And we were grateful that they were there. But actually, you know, they were trying to understand what some of these people were concerned about as well.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hetherington from SEH or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Close, cause you've been singing all night, driving home in the corner of your homemade night. Watch it shine so bright.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Watch it shine so bright in the candlelight.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Siri Nadu, Senior Equity Analyst with Tocqueville Asset Management. Turn, sort of, so to speak, in the economy. And the other thing that he mentioned on there was that the oil industry, after a decade, was the only one that had a net gain of jobs, meaning all the other startups and all the other industries, after a decade, lost jobs. And the oil and gas industry, that told me a lot. Have you come across any stats like that or any anecdotal examples to kind of either validate what Stephen Moore was talking about or either maybe take it a different direction than what he's talking about?
I know that just anecdotal things, just the kind of things you mentioned, that the oil and gas industry has been sort of was during the downturn was sort of a mainstay, was the job, you know, was the job creator, and we know that it's benefited this country, you know, if in terms of just having lower price for energy, for utility, for electricity, it benefits everybody. Things like that, so it's helped, and this is not my area, you know, the macro jobs and things like that, and so I wouldn't spend much time on that. But what I would what I can talk about, what I enjoy talking about, is how this industry, as it sort of, as you have the production, the transportation of the production, the benefit it has to the chemical companies down on the coastline, to the refiners where natural gas is an input, where in refining and low natural gas prices benefit them, and where more importantly, you know, the surge in production in the United States has allowed, you know, all kinds of discounted slates over here. So we as investors look at this whole stream, and have enjoyed making investments all along the stream, among producers, the people that provide services to them, the transportation companies, down to the refiners and to the chemical companies. So as investors, we've had a lot of fun with this. So this is the sort of, you know, this is my sort of, we look at the industry, so we know what's going on in terms of the industry, and our perch, our perspective is how can we make money? And basically we look at this whole stream and try and find areas where we can make money on behalf of our clients. I would turn the tables a little bit and ask Jason questions because, you know, as a value guy, as Jason, as you know, the Bakken was the first oil shale that went that got started, and you know, Brigham and what are the names that were there? There was one name with a little company with like something like a bear or something like that. I forget. A various bunch of companies over there and. As I started, you know, as a value investor, I was just caught flat-footed when growth started happening, and for the first sort of tranche of the shale of oil growth, shale oil growth, which is the Bakken, I stood on the sidelines, and I just because I wasn't a believer. It took me a while. You know, it's been decades of looking at production shrink in this country. So when growth happened, you know, as I pointed out before, the industry was populated by value investors, and as growth happened, we were skeptical, I was skeptical, and I stood out the Bakken, on the sideline during the Bakken first few years, and as a consequence, I have never really known the Bakken well, or known the players, or really invested in it, and it remains kind of a black spot in my understanding of the business. So, Jason's question to you: I believe the Bakken is growing again, albeit at a slow pace. And what do you, you know, what is the health of the Bakken? Where, you know, at what prices? I mean, today's prices, just about any of the shales can function well. But 6 months ago, prices were in the, you know, were below 50. And where is the break even in the Bakken? And we are invested in some companies that have been selling the Bakken assets so that they can double down in the Permian, which I know very well. So, Jason, where do you think the Bakken stands right now? You're so close to everybody in the Bakken. And, you know, what is the mood? Is it is it careful growth? I mean, the industry as a whole is being somewhat careful. The rig count hasn't matched in recent weeks. The rig count hasn't matched the upturn in prices, but you know, we're turning the budget page of the year, so we'll see what the expectations on rig count are for 18. We don't know that yet, but what is the mood in the Bakken right now?
Well, the mood is mixed, of course. I mean, there's for the oil companies, it's no different than farming, really, at the end of the day. And there's break-even prices depend on where you are, geography. And so, you know, the good news is, this is what I was telling people the last couple of years, is the good news is, at $30, we're still drilling 900,000 to 1 million barrels a day. And 10 years ago, we were doing 30,000 barrels. So they've figured out a way to reduce the cost. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're making money. You know this, that once the momentum stops on the work crews and a lot of these rigs, it ain't that easy to get it going again. I mean, it takes time and money. So they'll do break evens. They might even lose a little bit just in order to, you know, come on the flip side of things. The flip side of things, I remember talking to James Volker, Whiting Petroleum, 2 years ago in May. So it had been 2 Mays ago at the Williston Petroleum Council. The Williston Basin meeting they have in Bismarck every 2 years. It's in Canada, the alternate years. And he said at that time, it was about, they made about $28 million on a well, and they had got the cost down to like $8 million. So they were making, you know, a good $20 million bucks on each well. So they were producing some good numbers. That's why they don't mind breaking even, and they don't, you know, mind even losing a little bit on some wells if the prices get around 50, 60, 70 bucks. They're back in, you know, into some good days again. They're also doing some refracking, and that is doing a very good job of being a supplement. It's being a... To listen to the full-length interview with Siri Nadeau, Senior Equity Analyst from Tocqueville Asset Management, or listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook. All those social media links available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
I keep a tiny little picture on my cell phone of the wide open prairie out by my grandma's house. And some days I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights are flickering on the horizon.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every time I roll back around.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
When I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. I'll take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.
Oh, darling, I'm getting a new tattoo.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Mark Eaton, former NBA All-Star with the Utah Jazz and current motivational public corporate speaker.
Now, you mentioned teamwork and the working relationship between private sector, government sector, and even nonprofit, if you want to throw them in there. And it's almost a teamwork atmosphere to get things done. Coach Dale Brown and I spoke about longevity within an organization. If you look at sporting organizations historically that have longevity within their administration and coaching, that generally equals success. Your thoughts on that, and put that into the business world a little bit. How important is longevity in successful business?
I think it's very important. If you use the sports metaphor for a minute, you look at the great NBA teams, the Lakers and the Celtics, and that core group of people does not change very much year after year because it takes a few years to build that rapport and that understanding of each other out there on the court. And I think business is much the same way. We unfortunately live in a corporate environment now where people are constantly changing jobs and stepping on each other to try and get ahead. But the companies that you have a tendency to admire are the ones that do have that longevity, that do have the core group of management, you know, core management team that stays together, the core sales team that stays together, because you learn how to work better together. And if you can understand the concept of teamwork and kind of get off of that tangent that, well, I just need to climb on everybody else if I'm going to get my career further ahead, and understand the concept that if the team wins, you win, then I think that bodes well for your long-term success. And I've certainly seen that as I travel around the country and speak to different businesses. The ones that take that attitude and are really there for their teammates and taking care of them and let's work on this together, how can I help you and how can you help me, seem to have a much happier culture internally in their business and seem to have much greater results from a bottom line perspective than the ones that are constantly changing and moving all the time. And mm-hmm. This person goes and that one's coming in, and it's just, you know, now we were doing management systems this way, now we're going to do them that way. There's no consistency and continuity, and people are just like, I'm just going to show up and put in my 8 hours and I'm out of here. I think that's the culture that you have to look at if you're a boss or a CEO. Where do you want to go? What are your missions and values, and what do you want to stand for at the end of the day? Because your culture is going to have a direct impact on what your bottom line is.
Coach Dale Brown also said Coach Wooden from UCLA would not last today because he didn't have his first winning season, or had it took him 10 years about to get a winning season going and a winning team going. And he thought that was a travesty because of the way people are today, for those reasons you just mentioned earlier. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think somebody like are there other John Woodens out there that we'll never get to see because they get cut right away, either in business,
yeah,
sports, or whatever?
I think in business and in sports, it's win now at any cost, mm-hmm. and very little time is spent on developing your team, developing your philosophy, developing your players. And I think there's a lot of guys that get sold short and a lot of coaches that get sold short because of that. So Coach John was a perfect example, who spent years building his pyramid of success, mm-hmm. and his baseline philosophy of what he came to believe team was all about, and which was evidenced by, you know, 10 national championships. And there's so little tolerance nowadays for, let's take this player and let him develop for a couple years. Let's work with him. Let's assign a special coach to him. Let's really help train him to do his job well. We have a tendency in business now to go from the hiring to the judging space. And there's a great book written a number of years ago by Ken Blanchard called Raving Fans. And he talks about the missing component of coaching, that people don't spend very much time teaching people how to do their jobs and help them develop. And where do you want to go with your career? And how can I help you in the context of what we're doing here in this, mm-hmm. this organization? So yeah, I think that's very true and unfortunate, and I hope that eventually it'll shift around the other way.
To listen to the full-length interview with Mark Eaton, former NBA player, retired All-Star, and current motivational, inspirational corporate speaker, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
And every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in the sickles like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide it. You and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab.
When you get to me, I'm gonna unfold my arms. So you got a place to land that's soft and warm, yeah.
Hey, yeah. If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Fingers, no other choice. You are the queen of the midnight run. 11 years dark to taste the sun. The AM radio and the dashboard lights. You in the road in the middle of the night. It's you in the road in the middle of the night.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, who not jump over candlestick, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric, and we were talking, and this community leader said, United Way, what's your connection there? Eric said, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.